Hello everyone, by now you know exactly what this is, what you're about to hear, and why I am doing this. This is, of course, the very first monthly Patreon wrap-up of 2022. Yes, it's already been a month, can you believe it? I can't. So what you're about to hear are some of our personal favourite highlights from the content that we've been putting out over the past month over on Red Handed's Patreon. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Patreon is a subscription service model, so it's kind of like the Netflix of Red Handed. If you head on over now to patreon.com/redhanded, that's patreon.com/redhanded, you can pick the tier that you want to sign up to from $5 all the way up to $20. And the more you give, the more content you get. And also, you can get your hands on not just all that extra bonus content, but regular episodes of Red Handed ad-free every single week. So check out this month's wrap-up and see if it takes your fancy. In April 1974, our third victim, Klaus Christmann, left his wife and two children in Germany and flew to San Francisco. He moved in with an American man named Booker T. Williams, which is the most American name I can think of, apart from Johnny Appleseed.
I think Susie QAnon is actually the best one.
Susie QAnon. That still has a special place in my heart. I love it. If I ever need an alias to go on the run, I'm going to change my name to Susie QAnon.
And so inconspicuous.
Who's going to stop me? But I'll spell the QAnon separately, and it won't be until you sound it out. So it will be like K-U-A-N-O-N, and you'll be like, Susie QAnon. And you'll be like, ha-ha, got ya.
Now watch me run into the sunset on my little legs.
With a fucking fucked up ankle. So yeah, he moves in with an American man named Booker T. Williams, who he'd met while the latter was stationed in Germany with the US Army. According to an interview that our podcast extraordinaire Kevin Fagan did with Christman's daughter, he had left to, quote, achieve something better for himself and his family. In fact, Christman's wife and daughter firmly believed that Christman wasn't gay. However, the ifs and buts wouldn't matter for Klaus much longer. On the night of the 6th of July, 1974, Klaus was seen dancing at Bojangles, which I don't know why I said it like that.
But Bojangles. Bojangles. Oh, Bojangles. Good old, come back and dance.
Good old Bojangles. I don't know who we think this club is trying to attract. Like, I don't think the clientele that they were going after would want you to be like, a Bojangles.
Oh, Bojangles.
So that's probably not how they said
there's it. In the town where I grew up, I don't know if it's still there anymore. There was like, you know, there's like paint your own pottery situations.
Yes.
The one in Amersham is called Bojangles.
Uh-huh.
I think it's still there. Anyway, I, in my dyslexic genius for years, thought it was called Bodge Angels.
Bodge Angels. That's so, just rolls right off the tongue.
Bodge Angels.
Bodge Angels.
Where are you going for your birthday? Bodge Angels.
We were talking on Sinister Societies like on a recent episode, like what like our, or was it Red Handed? I can't even remember anymore. Like our, nice words to say.
Yeah.
And I would say that Bodge Angels is the opposite of a nice word to say.
Yeah, it was not my finest moment.
No. I did just look up meaning of Bojangles because I'm like, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
You probably already knew this.
The song.
Yeah. And apparently it's about a homeless man?
Yeah. Mr. Bojangles, back and dance. Yeah, it's about a homeless man who dances for money and he makes friends with someone else. And then the friend is like, why don't you sort yourself out, Mr. Bojangles? And he's like, well, son, I drinks a bit. So it's really sad.
Oh, well, apparently, you probably already know this as well. Apparently, so the Mr. Bojangles was white in the song. But apparently the name or the pseudonym has now been taken by Bill Bojangles Robinson, who was at the time the best paid black entertainer of his era.
There you go.
So there you go. Some fun facts about Bojangles.
Fucking hell. Speaking of black performers, over Christmas, White Christmas was on, which has a full-on minstrel show in the middle of it. And it was like prime time viewing.
What is White Christmas?
It's like a Bing Crosby, like olden timey, dancey film. Mm-hmm. But there's like a whole musical number in it that's a minstrel show.
That's awkward.
Called Mr. Bones. And like, it's one of those things where like, it's also like that other Christmas film, The Dam Busters. There's a dog in that called the N-word. And it's played every Christmas. God. It's on every Christmas. That it's like, it's a completely fine thing to program.
That's weird. That is weird. That's not like, you know, somebody being like, because, you know, I did find some of the stuff where it was hilarious when people were just like, they took like the little logo man off of Land of Lakes Butter or whatever. And I was like, I don't really know. But apparently the person who drew that logo was Native American.
Oh, really?
They just took it off the butter and apparently...
No more royalties for you.
It's like, I couldn't help but laugh at that. But I think a minstrel show and a dog called the N-word is a bit much. Bit much. Don't love. But anyway, I'm back to Bojangles at the gay club. Because that's what it was. By the way, I never even got to the point of saying that. No, so we left Klaus on the 6th of July, 1974, where he was seen having a jolly old time in Bojangles, which is a gay club in San Francisco's Tenderloin District. The next day, his body was found, guess where? On underwhelmingly named Ocean Beach, not far at all from where Gerald Kavanaugh's body was found 6 months earlier. Again, very reminiscent of the Stephen Port situation.
Yes, absolutely.
The officers who arrived at the scene were startled by the level of violence that had taken place. Again, very, very similar to Kavanaugh and to Stevens. Chrisman had been stabbed 15 times front and back, and there were signs of a tremendous struggle. And understandably, when you've been stabbed 15 times, there was blood everywhere. Like the two murders before this one, the killer seemed fueled by rage and hate. I think that's a fair thing to say because, again, it's like you can tell by this point, if you have connected the dots and it's serial, that it's most likely not personal to the victims. And so I think that the overkill is indicative of hate. Mm-hmm. There's not much else you can say about that. So the SFPD was shocked that the body could have been hacked at so brutally without anyone noticing. Because if all that blood is found at the beach, at the scene of the crime, you know that that's the kill site.
Yeah.
Hasn't been moved afterwards. No. So the fact that this level of violence has been carried out in a public place is, again, shocking. But 70s, California, I think people were just like, don't look over there because then we're going to get serial murdered.
We're too busy inhaling all of this lead.
Exactly. Again, though, despite another murder, in the space of just 6 months, police noted down very little about Klaus Chrisman. And, you know, again, the next bit I'm about to tell you, I think might explain why. Because Klaus, when he was found, was wearing orange bikini shorts, carrying a tube of makeup. And of course, like we said, he'd last been seen at a gay club. I think to the SFPD, he was probably just another dead man who had, quote, homosexual propensities.
I think you're probably
right.
Talk
about it, shall we? Okay, I've got one that is, it's just so grim, it's unbelievable. Like, I saw a lot of people talking about it on social media. So I think a lot of you, especially if you're in the UK, will already know about this. We have actually got no American cases today.
Wow.
Which is unusual
that
for us.
That might be a first.
Yeah. Well, don't worry, America. I'm sure you'll...
you'll come up with something.
You'll pique our interest next month. I'm sure of it. So, okay, mine is the Carlisle case. And if you know it, you already know it. So back in 2018, following an anonymous tip-off, the Gangmasters and Labor Abuse Authority, and I know that is a real thing, and I know we talked about it in our modern slavery episode, but Gangmasters Agency.
Yeah.
I do enjoy saying it, but it also...
It doesn't mean what you think it means.
No, but it sounds better than what it is.
It depends on your persuasion.
No shade. So yeah, the GLAA, together with the National Crime Agency, a bit more on the nose named agency, if you ask me.
That's not confusing anyone.
Raided a caravan park in Carlisle.
Okay.
Armed with a search warrant, and they found a shed in this caravan park. It was 6 foot high, and it was the one that they were actually looking for. They knew where they were going because of this anonymous tip-off. And when they knocked on the door, a disheveled, terrified-looking man, in his late 50s, opened the door. And unbelievably, this man was actually living in this shed. And I mean, it is a garden shed. Mm. It is not like a, look at this static office I've built.
Right, just to have
an extra room without moving houses.
Yeah, I'm so sick of spending lockdown sat across the kitchen table from my wife.
Precisely, yeah. And listening to her be bad on phone calls.
I saw a tweet that was like, I've found out so much about my husband during lockdown.
Yeah.
Turns out he has a work voice.
Oh my God, I would have hated. At my old job, I spent like 80% of the time on the phone. I would have hated for somebody else to listen to me. At work, it's fine because everybody's being a work dick. I was like, oh no, because actually met up with my two friends, the ones who had the whole like phone scare situation. They were like, we sit across the table from each other. And I'm like, this is what you do all day. She was like, that's the kind of conversations you're having. This is horrible. But anyway, so they open this door. This man's living inside this shed. It's got no lights. It's got no electricity. Mm-hmm. It's just a fucking garden shed. And the only thing that he had in there was a wet duvet on the floor. Wet, soiled duvet.
In Carlisle. Which, if you're not familiar with the geography of the UK, is very, very far north. It's basically Scotland.
Yeah, it's cold. It's cold here right now when we are in London.
Yeah, it's which cold. Has its own microclimate because of the pollution.
Yeah, and so it's generally warmer than the rest of the country because we're wearing a nice little smog blanket.
Yeah,
So yeah, he's got a wet duvet on the floor and even the window in the shed is broken. Mm-hmm. It doesn't close properly. So again, it's cold and the window doesn't close and there's of course no heating. One of the officers told the media later, after this situation had unfolded, that, quote, the man was living in conditions that no human being should have been in. And at one point, the man asked permission to clean himself up because they were obviously going to take him out of this fucking shed. And the officers kind of look around to be like, where? And he told the officers that he washed in a kitchen sink that had been awkwardly plumbed into a corner of this shed. And if you're shocked by all this, it's not even close to being the most shocking part of this case. And I just want to reiterate, like, this happened in 2018. This is so recently. After speaking with the man, investigators learned that he had been living in this shed since he was 16 years old.
Christ.
He was in his 50s when they found him.
Oh my God.
So he had been in that shed for at least 40 years. Years existing in there, sleeping on the floor, washing in that sink with no heating and a broken window. And he'd been working, quote unquote, on a local farm, being paid £10 a day for an entire day's worth of labor. So I think it's safe to say that this is slavery.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a slave. And thankfully, he was rescued that morning by the police. He was given specialist help and he was placed in supported accommodation just outside of Cumbria. So that man is now safe. I just don't think we should name him. I just think we should just let him get on with his life, basically. As for who was responsible.
Yeah, name that bitch.
Yeah, let's talk about those people. Because this man hadn't fallen on hard times and ended up in a shed and stayed there because he had no money. He was being kept there. And the man that was responsible for keeping this man a slave for 40 years was found to be a person named Peter Swales Sr., who was 79 years old at the time they found this man living in the shed. Right, so he's about 30 years older than the guy. So if he had been 16 when he was put in there, this guy would have been in his mid-40s when he captured a 16-year-old.
Jesus.
And officers didn't have to travel very far to find Mr. Peter Swales Sr., because he actually lived in a static caravan on the same exact site, presumably so he could keep an eye on his slave.
Mm.
And he was swiftly arrested on suspicion of offences under the Modern Slavery Act 2015. And the only thing, this is just makes you want to fucking punch this dick. The only thing he said when he was arrested and they confronted him with the fact that they had found this man living in the fucking shed being kept there by him, he said, quote, not all this slavery thing again. Yep. And it gets worse because his son, Peter Swales Jr., who at the time was 59, so just a few years older than the man they found in the shed, was also arrested. And they were both charged with conspiring to facilitate the support of an individual with the intent to exploit them. And both of them actually initially pleaded not guilty, even though they found a man living in the shed who was like, they're the ones that made me stay there. But after a 3-year investigation, so they really just want to fucking waste everybody's time, waste taxpayers' money, waste police time by pleading not guilty to something that is patently provable. 3-year investigation later, finally, Peter Swales Sr., who by this time would have been in his early 80s, decided that he was going to admit it. Sadly or not sadly, depending on how you feel about this situation, Peter Sr. died in September 2021, so just a few months ago, before his trial. So, like, we didn't even have to fucking stand trial. I kind of hate that. And Peter Jr., his son, he did end up having He ended up surviving, and his modern slavery trial is actually set to take place this month.
Okay.
So January 2022. But like his daddy, he too has since changed his plea to guilty.
Good.
So there won't be a trial now, and hopefully there will just be a swift sentence of go live in this shed for the rest of your life. So apparently Peter Jr. only agreed to take the guilty plea on the basis of his limited involvement with the victim, though he did accept that he knew about the living conditions that the man was existing in this shed. But yeah, it's just the whole thing is so sick. Apparently sentencing is going to take place on the 22nd of February, but with the COVID backlog, we don't know when this is actually going to happen. So we will have to wait and see what comes of this. As for the victim, apparently, and this is reports based on social services and what they're saying, so I'm really happy to hear this, that apparently he couldn't be happier with his new accommodation because he's not living in a shed and he's living in a flat somewhere. And although he will no doubt be incredibly traumatized, probably forever, no matter how much help they give him. I mean, he was in there for 40 years. He is getting all the help that he needs now, which is good to know. So happy ending, sort of, but to retouch on the episode that we did all those months ago, according to the Global Slavery Index, there are apparently over 100,000 people living in modern slavery in the UK right now. And this man that they managed to find and save was just one of them.
Wow.
Also interesting to know, I forgot to mention this, he was British. So it was... yeah, it's worth mentioning, you know, he hadn't been sort of brought in here from somewhere else and being kept in there. He was presumably a 16-year-old who at some point had a family. Why didn't they look for him? What happened to that? What happened to that boy who is the man now? We just don't know. And it's a very sad state of affairs. Sorry, everybody. That was a bit of a miserable start. Back to the story. So I went for dinner with my two friends. They're the couple that just got married in Glastonbury this summer. So... I feel like I'm going to have to say their names because the names are a part of the story.
They're pretty bait names.
They're pretty bait names. So it's James and Louise. I've known them for years. Lovely couple. And neither of them are from anywhere near where I grew up. But just by chance, even though they used to live in London, they decided to move to Hitchin, which is a town basically next to where I grew up. Very nice town. They bought a very nice house. They're very happy. Then I went for dinner with them and they were like, "We need to tell you what happened to us last week." And I was like, "What?" And this is the weirdest story. So they were like, 1 o'clock. James just says, "I just woke up. I don't know why I woke up. I just woke up." And I picked up my phone to look at the time. And suddenly I saw a bunch of notifications that had appeared on my phone because he has like a prepaid card, right? And like it wasn't a Revolut, but that's the name stuck in my head because I used to have a Revolut. And he's suddenly getting all these notifications for money being spent at that moment on his prepaid card. And he's like, "What the fuck? Obviously it's not me. I'm asleep." So he's like, "This is really strange." And it's all, and he's like, "I haven't got that much money in there." And he was like, "I even contemplated just going back to sleep because," he was like, "there's not that much money in there. I don't know if I can be bothered to deal with this." And then he's like, "Fine, no, I should." And then he gets up to log into the app and then suddenly his phone starts to ring. And it's not it doesn't say unknown number. It's got a mobile number that's calling him. So he's like, "This feels like too much of a coincidence." But it can't be the bank because it probably isn't the bank because it's 1 a.m, unless they're calling me from some other country. So he's like, "Fine." And Louise is awake by this point. So he answers the phone. And suddenly it's just a man's voice on the other end saying, "Hi, James." I know. And James is like, "What? Who is this?" And he's like, "Don't worry about who this is. But we're coming to your house now."
What?
I know. I know. And he's like, "We're coming to your house now. Your house is going to get raided. And we're almost there," and stuff like this. And then he can hear like laughing in the background and stuff like this. It's very, very sinister. And I was like, "What the fuck?" And Hitchin is like, one of the things about Hitchin is like such a low crime rate. And like, "What the fuck is going on?" So they're like freaking out. They're completely panicking. The fact that this man on the phone knows their name, knows James's name, etc. They're like, "Right, this is really strange." And then the phone cuts out. And they're like, "Right, should we take this seriously? How worried should we be?" Obviously at 1 a.m, you are like, "We should take this incredibly seriously." Then they I can't remember if they called the police first or if this call happened first, but let's say they called the police.
Yeah, yeah.
They call 999 and they're like, this is what's happening. But at first, the police are just like, don't worry about it. Like, we'll send someone to do a drive-by of the mm-hmm. house and just check everything is okay. Then, while they're waiting for the police to arrive, the phone rings again and they answer it again. This time, James got it on speakerphone so Louise can hear it as well. This time, the guy goes, hi, Jim. And Jim is obviously a nickname for James, but no one calls James Jim except his family and Louise. So like at the wedding, his brother was like calling him Jim, for example, but no one, and I've known James for years, no one calls him James outside of that group of people. Though you could say it's a common name for James, so maybe it's not that weird that this guy knew that. But he calls him Jim and he's like, hi, Jim. And he's just like basically making more threats that they're coming. And he's saying things like, we're outside, etc. They look outside the window and there's someone out there with a torch and they obviously freak out. Then the person holds the torch to their chest and you can see it's a police officer.
Okay.
And so they've sent a police officer. They let the police officer inside the house and they're like telling them what's happened, etc. They take the number and mm-hmm. they say they're going to trace the number because the number, again, isn't hidden. It's just a mobile number. So trace the number. And then they get the call back from the police station while the police officer is thankfully still in the house to explain where this number's been traced to. The number's been traced to Somerset, which is where Louise is from. It's not where James is from. It's where Louise is from.
Oh, my God.
James is like from Wiltshire or some shit.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Somewhere else. He's from somewhere farmy. They didn't meet till uni, so it's not like they didn't know each other growing up or anything. Mm-hmm. So Louise is from Somerset. The number is from Somerset, is registered to a person in Somerset. Gets even weirder. And they're like, we've got the name of the person the phone is registered to. And the police officer is like, does the name mean anything to you? Is Louise's dad's name.
Oh my God.
I know. And I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, did the guy on the phone who called you twice and they had like spoke to him for quite a while, did he have a Somerset accent? They were like, no, he had like a fucking London accent. And she was like, sure as shit wasn't my dad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It sounded like a guy in like our age from London. Mm-hmm. They were like, there was no way he was from Somerset and there's no way it was my dad or anyone we're related to. So they're like completely freaking out. Louise is freaking out now because she thinks her dad's in danger.
Jesus.
So then the police officer is like, can you call your parents? And it's like 2:30 in the morning now. So they call Louise's parents and she's just like, my parents are like woken up in the middle of the night. They're completely freaked out because we're saying this guy's got, you know, their number and stuff. And also Louise's parents had like had some other stuff happen to them before around identity fraud. So they were mm-hmm. really freaked out that this was happening again. And just like an absolute nightmare night of like weirdness.
Wow.
But nothing else happened that night. So then the police officer was like, well, you know, I have to leave. Mm. So the police officer leaves. And this was a week ago. And they were like, they just got all the locks in the house changed and blocked that number. But they were like, realistically, like, what more can we do? And I was like to James, I think you should change your number.
Mm.
I think you should change your number, cancel that prepaid card, get rid of everything. But other than that, like, yeah, what can you really do? But so fucking weird. Like, from Somerset.
Oh, I don't like that.
And also the weird thing is they were calling James. They'd hacked into his bank account.
Mm.
They were calling him James, him Jim, talking about him. They never referenced Louise, but the number is registered to Somerset and it's in Louise's dad's name. Like, it's so strange.
That is so weird.
Don't know, man. Really fucking
weird. My friends, Comrade and Gita, had a similar thing where they're my friends who I'm going to go and hang out with in South Africa. Comrade used to have a production company.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm obviously not going to say, but let's just say it's called like Hughes Productions.
Yeah.
And because he used to make like films and stuff and like online games before he moved on to like he programs games now. But anyway, so he used to just have this production company that he used to do like stuff with
mm-hmm.
when we were in Korea. Hasn't used it for years, but it still exists. And there's some sort of, I'm going to do a bad job of explaining this. Essentially, someone has been using Hughes Productions as a front for a Bitcoin scam.
Oh, no.
And because it's obviously on company's house, it's registered to Comrade,
mm-hmm.
all of these people have been getting in touch with him being like, where the fuck is my money?
Oh, no.
And like,
that's like my biggest fear.
Mm,
And like, there's loads of stuff on Reddit about what a terrible person he is and how he's like scammed all these people out of this money. And Conrad's like, it's not me.
Jesus.
And there's apparently been even people calling him, and he's been like on video call with these people, be like, this is what I look like. This is my house. This is my pregnant wife. Like, I am not this person that you need. But there's nothing he can do about it because like the company that somehow someone's got hold of enough information to be running this scheme out of his holding company, essentially.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I think it's sort of settled down now, but
shred all the addresses that come to your, all of the labels with all of your names and addresses, shred it all. Fucking hell. No, it's real. It's like a real, I always used to laugh at my dad when he always used to constantly go on about us like just ripping the label off everything and like tearing like the shipping label off everything and tearing it up. But I was like, now I'm scared. I'm scared of everything.
But the thing is, it's very readily available in company's house. It doesn't matter.
I mean, yeah, but again,
if
why
it makes
risk
you feel
it?
Better. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Why risk it?
So if you enjoyed that, head on over, as I said, to patreon.com/redhanded to become a redhanded patron today. And can you believe the doodler? They found more victims since we recorded that. Zeitgeist.